Thank you very much. And then maybe next week we'll, if we don't finish up, or we'll try to integrate it into and then start some sort of quick ops. I'll pick a parak, I guess. I think some years ago we did some. I don't know if anybody was around. When we did Pirkei Avos, or that's a long time ago? Long time ago? For your time, too? Oh, wow. Okay, I think we did like two prokim, but over here. But okay, we can either start in the being or we'll start somewhere else. We'll see. So the for today, I just thought I'd pick, again, something within the Parsha, you know, just in a broader way. So the this week's Parsha that's coming up, Parsha Lech Lecha, discusses Avram Avinu's challenge and decision, right, to go to Eretz Canaan, and then once he's in Eretz Canaan, as we know, he encounters all sorts of difficulties. Vayira av ba'aretz, vayered Avram Mitzrayim alagursham, ki chaved hara'av ba'aretz, and this is a very difficult. Actually, I left something in my office. Could you just get me this, like an envelope, middle envelope on my desk? Yeah, just like a manila envelope. A folder. Sitting on my desk, yes. They folded, it's old open because I forgot my keys. But he kasher hekriv lavo mitzrayma v'yomer al sarai ishto hineinu yadati ki isha yifas mara'at v'haya ki yiru osach hamitzrim v'yamru ishto zos v'hargu osi v'osach yichayu imrina achosi at l'man yitav li b'avarech v'chayisa nafshi b'galech. So this, of course, is exactly. I have a couple of photocopies that I wanted to read. This is the psukim, and this, of course, is a very difficult parsha because it seems like Avram Avinu is panicking; he's jeopardizing the future of Klal Yisrael by leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's one problem, and you know, more generally, by leaving Eretz Yisrael and by coming to Mitzrayim. He's putting his wife in jeopardy, ad kedei kach, that he has to either bend the truth or actually lie, right, in order to safeguard her interests. And this is a very difficult parsha, obviously, to read. But what's particularly fascinating, of course, is the view of the Ramban, which I wanted to speak about for various reasons. The Ramban here addresses a very broad and important question, the question of bitachon, and the relationship to Sakana and Ein Somchen al Anes in particular. We learned some other things, you know, from the Ramban about the Ramban's Koach HaChidush and also the way that he looks at personalities in Tanakh and so on. All of that in just, you know, one interpretation of the Ramban, which is pretty good. So what does Ramban say? So it's well known. The Ramban says that Avram Avinu was actually chote in this particular case. And it's very fascinating because the whole context of the Ramban is the context of another famous shita that he has, which is Maisa Avos Siman Labanim. Ramban, more than anyone else, built on the Medrash, of course, but expanding it significantly, especially throughout Bereishis, believes that Maisa Avos Siman Labanim, that what the Avos did and their encounter of different challenges really constituted a model and really transformed the history of the Jewish people. And again, certainly there must be a bit of a Kabbalistic / mystical element to all of this. It seems so. But like most things in the Ramban, even if you were to neutralize all of the Kabbalistic parts, it stands on its own. I mean, the Ramban clearly believes that the Avos, as role models, were so impactful that they constituted blueprints of Jewish leadership and Jewish values to such an extent that, you know, the impact of their decisions and the paths that they blazed intentionally, it was supposed to be that way, was l'dorei doros. In other words, it determined, you know, what was going to be normative and paradigmatic and possible, all good things like that. So when Ramban starts speaking about the story of Vayihira av ba'aretz vayered Avram Mitzrayim alagursham, so he associates it with Shibud Mitzrayim, and he is very explicit about this, that this is Maisa Avos Siman Labanim. V'nirmaz lo mizeh, ki banav yichpishu amakom ahu tchila, kodem ayosim zochim bo, and so on and so forth. Avraham Baber's Kanan. Basically, this is one of the great examples of Maisa Avos Sim and Laban. And there, from there, the Ramban transitions into this amazing Chiddush that Avraham Avinu did the wrong thing, and that there were consequences to his decision. After saying Lo Nafal Mikol Ma'orah Av Shelo Yeh Babanim, he says, he adds. One second, I'm trying to find it in this version of it. Here, Veda says somewhere. Ah, Veda ki Avraham Avinu chatah chet gadol bishgaga, of course. Shehevi ishto atzadekes b'michshol avam b'pnei pachado pen yehargu v'yolu l'vtoach b'ashem sheyatzil oso v'yes ishto v'yes kol ha'shalo ki yesh b'elokim koach la'azor l'hatzil gam b'tziyoso min ha'aretz sh'nitztav aleha b'tchilam b'pnei ha'ra'av avona sh'chata ki elokim b'ra'av yiftenu mimaves v'al maisa zeh nigzor alzaro ha'golus b'eretz mitzrayim miyad paro u'b'makom ha'mishpat shama ha'resha v'ha'chet. He adds the words ha'chet because he's not so comfortable with the Resha part, because as he points out, it was Shkaga. It had to be Shkaga. It was Avraham Avinu. So this is the unbelievable Chiddush of the Ramban. Rabbeinu Bachya in his Perush al Atar just points out that this is very difficult to understand because there are numerous Chazals, including Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Beis, which discusses the various reasons for Shibud Mitzrayim. This is not mentioned among them. Moreover, the Medrash and Pirkei Rabbi Lazar speak about the Psukim later on, Tesvav Ches, where Avraham Avinu, right, says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Bame Eida Ki Yirashena. One second, right, Vayomar, right, Bame Eida Ki Yirashena. And again, the Gemara seems to say, Chazal seemed to say that that constituted the basis for Galus Mitzrayim. So it's interesting. He doesn't suggest that there's fundamentally anything wrong with what the Ramban is suggesting. He just thinks that it doesn't work out with the rest of Chazal. It's at odds with the traditional view of what brought about Shibud Mitzrayim. That's kind of the most innocuous attack, you know, against the Ramban. It should be noted that the Ramban's own view on B'mei Daki Roshena probably precludes a part of this question. Ramban says that, you know, Avraham Avinu wasn't really challenging anything. Avraham Avinu was discussing there something that he discussed in other places, and that is when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you a haftacha, so to what extent should you be worried about Shema Yigro Machet because it's a conditional haftacha, or which ones are, you know, absolute and unqualified? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to figure out. B'mayidah ki rashana. Which kind of haftacha is this? But he wasn't in any way suggesting that there was some question about whether the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to fulfill his promise. So as it happens, the Ramban happens to be quite l'shitaso on that particular point, but there are other suggestions in the Gemara Nedarim. The Ramban clearly is bypassing at least them, and the question is why. Some of the Mefarshim on the Ramban, beginning with, if you look at the Chevelle edition now, there's another edition out with very good footnotes. So, you know, sometimes they add interesting marmakomos or interesting perspectives or reactions to the Ramban. So some of the people suggested over the years that, you know, maybe the Ramban is trying to explain why Mitzrayim, why the location of Mitzrayim for the Galus. The fact that there was a Galus, that they, you know, were going to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael, that's because of the Gemara Nedarim, and that's because of this Pasuk here. Etc. But why the venue of Mitzrayim specifically? Because of this episode in Mitzrayim here. Personally, I find that to be extremely unconvincing. They've tried to answer in this new Ramban, you know, quotes a lot of Achronim who dealt with the Ramban over the years. They try to answer all sorts of other questions based on that. I find them to be, in this particular case, extremely unconvincing. It seems clear that the Ramban was blazing a path here. He really believed that the reason for the exile, the galus of Mitzrayim, is because of this decision that was made by Avraham Avinu. What makes it very, very striking is the fact that, I say, it's in the same piece where Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, and not as a lament, the Ramban doesn't say, Oy Nebuch Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, basically, he always enthusiastically embraces that concept. And as I say, it's semi-mystical but mostly rational because of the greatness of the Avos, their impact on history, and the, you know, heroic, spiritual decisions that they made. Moreover, again, the Ramban clearly, and this is maybe, you know, as important as anything else we could say about it, notwithstanding the Ramban's view here, the Ramban does not have an iota less reverence and respect and assessment of Avraham Avinu's role. Right? Actually, it's very interesting when Rashi interprets as he does the pasuk later on in Perek Tezvav, what is it, pasuk Yud Beis, Ve'emin Ba'Hashem Ba'yachshaveh Alo Tzedaka. Is that what it says? No, not Tezvav Yud Beis, but you know, the psuk came here. Was it Ches? Vav. Ve'emin Ba'Hashem Ba'yachshaveh Alo Tzedaka. So Rashi says that what this means is that since this Lo Sha'ala Os Al Zos, Aval Ayirusha Sa'aret Sha'ala Os Amar B'meida. Okay. That's also interesting, very interesting. Vayachshaveh Alo Tzedaka. Kadosh Baruch Hu Chashav Al Avram Lizakos L'Zchus Rather L'Tzedaka Al HaMuna Sheheimin Bo. So the Ramban says, I don't understand, Rab, Avram Avinu needs credentials and Amuna. This is Avram Avinu who is willing to sacrifice, his only son, Yitzchak, after all of the trials and tribulations, right, to bring a Yitzchak into the world and everything that implied and all the contradictions that, you know, are inherent in this whole process. So just because he believed that the Hamin Ba'Hashem Ba'Hashveh Lo Tzedaka, that he would have a lot of progeny, right, that's there was no downside to that, basically. He didn't have to sacrifice anything. It's like he had to sacrifice, literally, on an altar. So, again, the Ramban goes into this whole discussion, similar to what he says about the other thing, about, you know, Shema Yigra Mechet, Lo Shema Yigra, Yifav Yeshaval Tzedakah. He believed that, you know, with the Emunah, that this was an unconditional promise. But the Ramban's whole point was that Avraham Avinu doesn't need credentials, and certainly not these credentials, for his emunah. The Ramban says this elsewhere also, that Avraham Avinu was, you know, epitomized belief. Avraham Avinu was the father of monotheism and belief. He discovered or rediscovered the Ribono Shel Olam, etc. So the fact that the Ramban has this very harsh view of Avraham's particular decision and the impact that it has needs to be understood in context of Ma'isavo Simul Labanim and of his view that, you know, Avraham Avinu, through the act of the Akedah, epitomized Emunah. Again, I think there's something to say in defense of Rashi. I'll just mention very quickly, and then maybe, you know, if we have to finish this up next week, I'll speak about Emunah and Bitachon. But I think Rashi's idea is a very powerful idea. I think that, you know, counterintuitively, but maybe more profoundly, sometimes when there are consequences, even negative consequences, it's actually easier to muster a certain level or measure of Emunah. You're caught up in a certain crisis, the stakes are very high, and, you know, that leap of faith is something which, you know, is difficult to achieve, but there's something very heady about it and something very appealing about it, and sometimes you're able to do it. And when you are able to do it, there's a certain ferocity, you know, certain ferocious kind of faith that you're able to express under those conditions. But if somebody tells you, you know, don't worry about it, right now you have nothing, but long after you're no longer alive, you're going to have so many descendants that you can't count them. So, you know, to believe that with conviction, in a way, right, requires a more profound sense of emotion. Because, you know, there are no stakes at the moment. It's really something that you're taking on pure faith. Again, to say, oh, I don't care much about it, okay, thank you very much, that's not Ve'hemin Ba'Hashem. Right. But to be rock solid, to believe it like it's a fact, right, when you're never going to see it one verified one way or another, in a sense, that's a greater level or a different kind of greater level of Amunah, and I think that's what Rashi has in mind. There's the Amunah of the Akedah, which is remarkable, and then there is the Amunah of the Hemin Ba'Hashem Ba'Yachshaveh Alo Tzedakah. And the truth is that Avraham Avinu was the father of both of those Amunas, as well as the Amuna, the ultimate Amuna, of being Megale Shechina, you know, with his own initiative, by himself, whether he was 3 or 40, or there was a process going on, as the various views are. But either way, the Ramban's comments here about Avraham Avinu take on, in a way, much greater greater significance. But there are two very important, I think, issues to talk about, or three important issues to talk about. One is just the Chiddush itself. This highlights the Ramban's very mechudash approach to Parshanut and to other things. And the Ramban had a strong conviction. As far as we know, there's no strong evidence in Chazal for such a view, which is why the Mefarshim strongly react against it. Again, in the new Ramban, they quote the view of Rabbi Yehuda in the Zohar, who says, it says Vayered, not Virad, so maybe that's the Diuk. Of course, the relationship between the Ramban and the Zohar historically is a very uncertain thing. There's a big controversy about, the edited work, meaning the Zohar, what century it's from. The material in the Zohar, which is, Kabbalah, one could argue is very, very early. That's the tradition that we have. You could accept that view without necessarily believing that the book, right, the Sefer HaZohar as a book, is so early. There are many people who believe it's a later book. Whether it is or whether it isn't, there's certainly no evidence that the Ramban had any acquaintance with the work, the Zohar. There is a lot of overlap and parallel, but that could be for various other reasons. If the Zohar, the text of the Zohar is later, even though it's drawing on earlier sources, there are those who think that the Ramban may have been a source for whoever edited the Zohar. Or there might be common denominators or common issues. Either way, there's no evidence that in Ramban himself never quotes a Zohar, and he quotes Kabbalah, but he doesn't quote the Zohar. So the idea that Rabbi Yehuda and the Zohar is the makar for this Ramban is probably unlikely. Even if it was the makar, the idea that a Deya, which is outnumbered in the Zohar and which doesn't appear in Chazal, and which is extremely provocative, that's the compelling makar for the Ramban, also doesn't make very much sense. So even if the Ramban saw someone who had such a view, he had to pretty much feel great sense of conviction, that this was the case, to embrace that view, because certainly not the typical, not typical, it's just a very, very minority view, if it is a view at that. The Maral initially tried to embrace the Ramban's idea by saying, well, Avraham Avinu is such kind of an inverted logic, but one which is appealing. Avraham Avinu is such a fundamental cornerstone for Yahadus and for Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael's future, that everything has to have its roots in some sense, in Avraham Avinu. But and that's the quote here. This is Gvuras Hashem Hey Tes. Again, I'm picking this one up for these footnotes. Shemidivre Chazal Mevuar Shatolu Golus Mitzrayim Dafka Bechet Avraham Avinu Kimin Ashorish Vaikar Nimshach Hakol. Okay. And then they ask all sorts of questions, but that's hardly obviously a makar. That's an interesting assessment. And at the end of the day, the Maral, because of all sorts of other questions, turns his back on the Perish of the Ramban. If you look at the other Rishonim Alatar, the Radak in particular, and the drushas of Talmidei Rabbeinu Yona, reject the Ramban in principle. They believe that in the clash, in the dialectic between bitachon on the one hand and ein somchen al hanes on the other, or hishtadlus as we call it, that's the other area where the Ramban is very, very crucial, which we'll get back to, the Ramban's on the wrong side of that particular argument here. This is not an example where Avraham Avinu displayed less bitachon. It's an example where, appropriately, he decided that ein somchin al anes, and that you needed to do hishtadlus. The Ran also comes to this conclusion. The Rabbeinu Yona Alatar, I think I copied it here. says as follows, and this is interesting too, because as we'll see in a moment, his view is not one-sided. V'gam omru chen sefasav ze Avram shelamadu yosher midosa v'maisa b'devarav. Hitchilo lamadnu hayosa rodef achra avodas Hashem shelamed lebnei adam drachav. The gamba riditol mitzrayim ipnei rav v'lo samach alanes limadnu mashomer azal leolam al yamud adam b'makom sakana v'yomar osin lo nes k'mo shomer chananya mishal v'azaria, right, and so on. Bim hayoshev ticho Hashem ra'ui lasos imones l'ratzol la'atriach yosa midai k'atzorek nes b'kol shav v'shav misha yatzorek lazun am rav b'makom kozman harav hayatzorek l'nisim rabim v'kimat yotzim min ha'teva bim hayos b'riditol l'mitzrayim ra'a shayatzorek shiyasa imo meisenes batzol asaro batzol aso min ha'misa b'diburo silek shelo yitzorek l'nes v'amro imri na'achosiyat ki ulai lo haya nasa imones ublekicha sara amad shiyasa nes b'schus shneim b'chei nasa karma al divrei sara she b'schus shneim siya v'afim lo haya nasa lahem nes hare anusa isa v'afilu baila isa muteres. He wasn't relying on a smaller nes, he was ready for all contingencies, but he didn't feel that it would be anything but presumptuous to try to push or force the Ravon Shel Olam into providing a nes in order to narrowly be mekayim is avtacha. Kol shkein shliya echad lehem limser nafshel sakanas misa b'shvil adavar hazeh. Omra zal ki lamad mikan kisheraav b'ir pazer raglecha v'hibra b'aretz lamad me'aparsha zol shnei dvarim ha'elu. Achas sheruts adam achar mechi aso kimo shomer b'chlal tzoakim ve'inam ne'anim man d'bishlei, and so on. V'lo'ozel l'matachrita gam kishir adam atzmo shu binyan ra sheyivcha bera hamuat v'yivrach meira mimenu achreichem b'amro v'gam lo talachas Avram, and so on. And he continues in this vein. Similarly, later on in Parshas Vayishlach, the Rabbeinu Yonah develops this idea further. It's on page 66 of the, or 65 of the printed drashos of the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. Davar achar lev adam yachshav derecho, klomer ein lo adam lamar acharei she'amar tov ma'at b'tzedaka ki ha'ma'at ahu yaspik lo adam b'vitcho b'Hashem u'b'asoso mitzvosav, im kein al yisasek adam klal b'davar aliyeshev batel b'vitcho b'Hashem yaspik lo eino chein, aval im ha'bitachon ro'i lo adam lashkiach b'inyanav u'lisasek, shekein nemar yitzav Hashem otcha es ha'bracha, v'zehu she'amar lev adam ra'ui l'chashev derecho, darko, v'oz yachin Hashem tzadav b'bitkobo b'asoso mitzvosa. And he has this again on page 77 in the drashos of the Talmidei Haran, etc. The Radak Alatar, who is very influential in the Ramban's Perush Al HaTorah generally, yeah.
Can you speak to the Ramban that he thinks that, especially with like Avram, that once you reach a higher level of Zikus, then Nisim are natural?
I don't think he says that. That's the kind of what I'll get to. The Beis Halevi says something like that. I thought more, I'll try to say what I think in just a couple of minutes. He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't imply in this piece whatsoever that because of Avraham's elevated state, therefore the Hagdara of, you know, or the let's say the Izun, the balance between, you know, Bitachon and Ishtadlus is different. The Beis Halevi says that. Beis Halevi in his discussion of Yosef says that the ideal is Bitachon, but not everybody is capable of achieving that level, but people should be striving to like upgrade themselves, we'll discuss the Beis HaLevi too, in order to attain that kind of a thing. But Yosef, who you know, was on that level, for him, we'll discuss it a little bit, you know, the reliance on Sarah Mashkim is unacceptable. He doesn't say exactly what you're saying, that the reason is because somebody who's on a higher level has a greater level dveikus, and therefore is more attuned and therefore more likely, you know. So I would say a little bit different. I'm not saying, I don't see it in this piece that he thinks that the Avram Avinu would have been treated differently than anybody else in this issue.
But in other things, right, it seems like for a tzaddik to assume that he's going to be saved by the anes,
yeah,
is just as sure as I am that I'm, you know, the floor is not going to fall through.
No, so I would say a little bit differently. I would talk about nes nistar. I don't think it has to do with that, but, and I'll try to qualify it in a minute also because the Ramban's comments at the beginning of Vayishlach, where he talks about Yaakov and Esav. I think in Bereishis you have three very interesting scenarios where this gets played out. One, of course, is this story with Avram and Sarah and leaving Eretz Yisrael, etc. I guess we'll need next week to finish up. The second one is in the beginning of Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu discusses, figures out his strategy with Esav, which Chazal say, and which the Ramban endorses, interestingly enough, Bitfila, Bimulchama, and Bidoron, right? And the third one is the story of Yosef, right? Vayishkachem. That's where clearly there seems to be some problem. Now, most people seem to embrace the balanced strategy of Yaakov Avinu, Tiferes, right? Avram Avinu, you have this big machlokas here, which I'm discussing now. And in the case of Yosef, everything seems to be tilted to somehow Yosef, if you just read the psukim, it doesn't seem like he did anything wrong, anything that anybody wouldn't do, anything that we wouldn't, if we didn't know Chazal, characterize as Ein Som Kanal Anes. So, what's the problem with Yosef? Actually, it's an interesting, you have a balanced one, you have a, at least according to the Ramban, you have a Bitachon one. I'm sorry, according to most Rishonim, you have a Ein Som Kanal Anes one, which the Ramban thinks is a Bitachon one, and then you have the Yosef one, which is the Bitachon one. So I think what I'm going to try to develop is, I think there is a machlokas, and I also really think that the majority view is that there's always a dialectic in these things, and then there are other factors that determine, particularly what the pressures and counter-pressures are and how you assess them. But before I get to that, let me just say what I do think of the Ramban. I don't see in the Ramban any perspective that the person, in other words, because he's Avraham Avinu and he has that kind of a relationship and so on, I don't see that in the Ramban here, although I hear the logic. What I also don't see specifically, but I'm not as bothered by its absence, is another view of the Ramban, which is connected to the one that you mentioned, and that's the idea of Nes Nistar. As the Ramban generally believes that, this sharp division that people, more philosophically minded Rishonim, like the Rambam and Rav Sajagon and certainly the Rabbag, even more so, that they had, namely between the natural order and the supernatural, and the idea of there being a teva, which mostly operates, and then with rare exceptions there are interventions, which we call nisim. The Ramban, had a very complex view on that matter as well, but certainly he also believed that a lot of things. He was much more open to the Nes Nistar. And then there's some question, to the extent that the Ramban even denied, in a way, the natural order and said that it's, camouflaged as Nes Nistar and it's people's perception, but the Rabbanu Shalom is taking a very hands-on, propped-up, perspective to Hashgacha and to the world, in which case the idea that, Ein Somchen al Anes is less of a factor, and let's say bitachon is a greater factor, especially when it's when it's subtle, becomes I think more plausible. Before I get to the to continue with what I think the Ramban is about, I think that point, but again that clues in a little bit to what you're talking about also, because when do you get that hashgacha of Nes Nistar? Certainly, it also is a function of who you are and what your relationship is. I just think that here the Ramban is not tolled on that, but maybe his perspective on Nes Nistar is something that is operative here. Certainly, I think that his view about Eretz Yisrael, which I'll get to in a second, and possibly his view about Arayos and being Machshil Sarah, putting her in that kind of a situation, I think that also has something to do with this story, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Before I do, I just want to, yeah.
The Ramban seems to equate the idea of Nes Nistar with the idea of
Hashgacha. Yeah, correct.
Seems like they're the same thing for...
Well, that's what I'm saying. For the Ramban, Nes Nistar is Hashgacha in the sense that it's the perception of people that they're different, but there's a constant, that's what I mean, the propping up and intervention. The Ramban in a few places has this. Yeah.
So he says that only Beinonim are left with Nigrim, but about the Chassidah, Yasam Elam Hibo, the Das, Osam Bifrat, Leos Shmiraso, Debeka Bo Tamid, Loti Parit Haidia Bazachiri Menu Kla.
Okay.
So that's referring to.
Right, but again, that's because, but I'm just saying he isn't, that's why I say I don't, I'm not suggesting that the you know greater, let's say, affinity of people who are developed in that way to you know to being given access to the to this kind of hashgacha isn't a factor. But what I'm saying is he doesn't. Unlike the Beis Halevi, who's saying, "Oh, according to your, there's a scale of you know your stature which dictates whether or not you should be more bitachon oriented or more ein somchana, where it's more presumptuous or less presumptuous, and if it's less presumptuous, it's also more of a mechai." I don't think the Ramban is holding that way. The Ramban isn't saying, "Oh, he's Avraham Avinu; he should have had bitachon." I think what he's saying is the right decision here would have been one of bitachon. I think that the underlying mentality is Nes Nistar is something that is accessible. What you're also adding is that Nes Nistar is even more accessible, right, for people who have a sensitivity to it and who have developed. That could very well be. But that's more of an indirect you know, factor in this particular case. The same factors would apply to any person. Lu Yitzuyer, they had that access, and in most cases they would have that act. This maybe Avraham Avinu would have it more, but that would just make be more of a practical consideration here than a conceptual one, I think.
No, it seems that nobody else could rely on that.
He doesn't say that.
The klal of Entom Klal is that I can't rely on this, but somebody...
No, the klal is also that you shouldn't be, like the way the Rabbeinu Yonah has it and others, is that it's presumptuous to force the Rabbeinu Shalom into action. Not that you can't Shem B'Yigromache, we'll get to that also.
But if Nisim are natural,
well, they're not natural in the sense... I mean, they do require an intervention.
That's right. Ramban's point, that there is no teva klal.
Well, again, that's debatable in the Ramban, whether there's no teva klal. I mean, that people have written about, and there are different perspectives, there are different, you know, different pieces in the Ramban imply different things. I just don't think you have to go that far. I'm saying I think it's connected to the greater accessibility of Nes Nistar, to the fact that there's a blurring between the natural and the supernatural world and the greater sense of hashgacha. I just don't see that this is a din in Avraham Avinu per se. If it's a din in Avraham Avinu, in this particular case, it's a function of you know plugging all the factors in, and this being one in which you know bitachon is the right decision, but not in the Beis Halevi type sense of at least that's my argument. The Radak here is very strong. The Radak says, one second. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. The Radak says, Ze achad min ansionos shenisa hakelas Avraham Avinu v'amad bekulan v'lo hir achar kadosh baruch hu leymar etmal amal v'divrchu b'kol mishpechos ha'adam v'ayom ra'av ba'aretz shani shokhin ba'ad she'et starech l'tzei simenu v'makom acher. So it's fascinating. The Radak begins, and the Radak was very influential in the Ramban's Peirush in general, especially in Bereishis. The Radak begins by basically saying that there was a bitachon in the lohir her acharav, which is why this is one of the nisyonos that Avraham Avinu undergoes. So in a sense, Avraham Avinu expresses or exhibits bitachon, right, by not questioning the Rabbanu Shel Olam here. But then he goes on to say that the Avram lo haya yachol lizbol ha-ra'av ki haya kavedu miknei rav alayu motzim mireh v'od ki nefashos beis ayu rabim, and therefore the right thing for him was not to be so mechal anes. And this he says explicitly in the continuation. One second. Talks about the fact that when he encountered the Mitzrim, there was a bit of a surprise at their culture, right? Also at their appearance. And then he says, Kima yodeza mitchila loya bedaita lavo mitzrayma aliha sovel ha-ra'av velo sheyafkir es ishto velo yarei sheyansu oso mimena v'yishkavima etc. Um, She'ein roi l'smoch al anes. V'amru is also interesting because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Minayin she'ein somcha al anes. She'nema lo tenasu es Hashem alokeichem. V'chein roi inu Shmuel anavi. And the Radak says this in his parish on Shmuel, as the notes here point out. She'olech b'shlichus hakel u'pachad mi'sha'ul. V'amar shema sha'ul yahargeini. V'gam hakel shibeach pachado. V'lomer lo al tifchad ki lo yahargecha. V'lomer lo eglot bakar tikach v'yadecha. Hodala kitova is a machshavta sheyam befakeid. V'chein ra'oi l'chol tzadik, l'fikach tzivo l'asos tachbula l'lami l'chol tzadik, sheyas akein v'lo yivtach al anes. This is the statement of the Radak. And I say this is also the view of the Ran in his drashos. This is the view of the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah. In terms of the Achronim, the Netziv, the Parashas Drachim, the Maral, all the people who speak about the Ramban, almost pe'echad, reject the Ramban's view. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, interestingly enough, before we get to that. So, but I think the first point is that the Ramban here is incredibly mechudash, and it's a great example where he has the courage of his conviction, because I say it's either based on no Chazal or on a very, very minority view of Chazal, but the Ramban felt this very strongly. And as something that he felt strongly, he put himself out there, on this issue. What's fascinating is that Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, who rejects the position of the Ramban on the substance of it in terms of the psukim, and ideologically in terms of the dialectic of Ein Somchen Al Anes and Bitachon, nonetheless expresses tremendous admiration for the Ramban and considers this Ramban to be pivotal. Not in terms of what I just said, namely the Ramban's courage of conviction and his, innovative, perspective on Parshanut, but in terms of, the radical honesty and the tendency, in other words, to see even the greatest of men, and this integrates with the point I made before about Maisa Avosim Labanim, and his view about Avram Avinu as the Av HaAmuna, right? Shamshon Fall Hirsch typically has a very nice, take on the Ramban. Quotes the Ramban, and then he says, none of this, even if Ramban were correct, none of this would perplex us. The Torah does not seek to portray our great men as perfectly ideal figures. It deifies no man. I'm jumping around. Rather, God presents himself as the model, right? The Torah is not an anthology of good deed. It relates events not because they're necessarily worthy of emulation, but because they took place. It's also not a history book and a catalog of incidental events. Obviously, it's supposed to learn from the events, but the point is that it isn't a whitewashing. The Torah does not hide from us the faults, errors, and weaknesses of our great men, and this is precisely what gives its stories credibility. Then he goes on to explain that the Anava of Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is enhanced by Moshe Rabbeinu's capacity to fly into a rage and to say Shimuna Hamorim. Precisely his outburst, Shimuna Hamorim, lends his humility its true greatness. We infer that he acquired humility through hard work, self-control, and self-refinement, and they were obligated to emulate him since it was within our capacity to do so. Also, the Torah relates no sin or error without telling us of its consequences. Let us learn from our great teachers of the Torah. We must never attempt to whitewash the spiritual and moral heroes of our past. They do not need our apologetics, nor would they tolerate such attempts on our part. Emes is the seal of our Torah. Truthfulness is the guiding principle, etc. All this would be in place here were we truly compelled to agree with the Ramban. Then he goes on to say that he doesn't like the Ramban, which is why it's particularly striking that he uses the Ramban as an example of this perspective. Of course, just to add to the perspective, because we live in a time in which what Rav Hirsch is highlighting in the Ramban, which really is the perspective of all of the classical Mefarshim and of the Medrash, namely, seeing the Avos as people to be emulated and as great men, but also as people who, had flaws, and the relevance of the stories are critical to the kedusha of the stories. We live in a time in which that perspective is not always fully appreciated. We also live in a time where the people who identify with with the perspective, not whitewashing, you know, the stories of Tanakh, sometimes go a much too far in the other direction, which can be even worse, and that is they, you know, make the stories of Tanakh, you know, crude, and they, you know, remove interpretation from context. In other words, Mais Avosim Labanim, you know, these are the Avos HaUma, these are the people we're supposed to emulate. So we also understand that the mistakes that they made were mistakes of great men, still mistakes to be learned from, corresponding maybe to some cruder mistakes that we make, but not those exact simple, crude mistakes. In other words, the story of Yosef and his brothers, the example that I always like to bring, but any of these stories will, you know, be comparable. Or take the story of the Ramban and Avram Avinu. It's obviously not a lack of bitachon in the overall personality. According to the Ramban, Avram Avinu made a wrong call here. You know, you could see him, you know, balancing and weighing and, you know, trying to determine, to discern which direction to take. And in the end of the day, his calculation, according to the Ramban's understanding of it, was wrong, and it had terrible impact, you know, l'dore doros. That's different than saying, oh, he didn't have enough bitachon. He was not lacking bitachon. Right? Yosef and his brothers is surely also a story of jealousy, you know, in such a way that Chazal are so harsh about it, right? The bechia l'doros that it causes, and so on. But that doesn't mean it was petty jealousy. It was jealousy that was unacceptable for great men who should have been able to rise above it, and even if they were really, you know, arguing about Dvarim Omdim Berumo Shalolam, whether it was Rodef or other such issues, you know, on a very spiritual plane, Chazal understood that their arguments corresponded to some of our petty traits, and that on a certain level, the petty traits are also at the core sometimes of bigger issues and bigger arguments, you know, which transcend them. And being able to, you know, reject both extremes, the extreme of, you know, just reading Pshuto Shel Mikra without regard to who the people are and the, you know, reputation and stature that they have, you know, crude pshat, if you will, as opposed to, you know, the things that happened didn't happen, and, you know, they have no relevance to us because, you know, some other theosophic thing is going on, you know, of a completely different nature. These are two extremes which basically need to be rejected. So what is really going on with the Ramban? So I think it's important to make the following point. And that is that the Ramban himself, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, as I just noted, presents a very balanced view of the same question. Nichteva parsha zos lodia ki itzila kodesh baruch hu savdo v'galom b'yad chazak mimenu v'yishlach, I'm going to stop in a minute, malach v'yatzileu ulamdenu od shehu lo batach b'tzidkaso v'hishtadel v'hatzala b'chol yecholto v'yesh ba'od remez l'doros ki kol asher ira l'avinu im esav achiv yera lanu tamidim b'nei esav v'ro'i lanu lechoz b'darko shel tzadik shenaz min atzmenu legimel advarim shehiz minhu etzatzmo letfila ledoron ulahatzala b'derech mulchama libroach elhinatzel, and so on and so forth. This is the view of Chazal which the Ramban embraces. The truth is that Rabbeinu Yonah, in the piece in Vayishlach that I read, is following another piece, the previous paragraph, Dover Acher, Tov Ma'at B'Tzedakah, Klomar, Ra'ui La'adam La'ashkiach B'Atzmo La'asos Tzedakah, V'chein Lirdof Acher Asiyas Shara Mitzvah Safili Yem Mamono Mu'at, V'Leomar Ba'od She'asa Mitzvah Zu, Ha'yisi Marviach B'Esek, right? V'Ha'oni Mechaser Oso, Ki Tov Lo Zeh Mishiyasuk Ba'asok Av Tamid V'Yivatel HaTorah V'Mitzvos. L'chein Smoch Alav, Lev Adam Yachshov D'Racho, Klomar,
right?
Mazui tochacha nechona li yishrei leiv kimash anu roim kama bali averus matzlichim rachme Hashem rabim v'ulai ya'osha hu shamur la l'ra'asa u'bem eshekachu achrei shema'ateyu l'archiko midarkei Hashem. This passage basically is a very strong statement about bitachon and about not having a purely pragmatic calculation, right? And even being mistapek bimuat, in a way that can be, I would say, draconian, but can be very impactful on one's lifestyle in order to accomplish the good things. So the question is, to what extent is there even a debate here between the Ramban on the one hand, and let's say the Ran, the Radak, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Netziv, etc. on the other? My impression is that there is a bit of a debate. Again, we talked before that the Ramban's view may be connected to his view of Neis Nistar, or maybe of Tzadikim, but in my opinion there also is a little bit of an element, a stronger statement about the bitachon part in Ein Somchin Al HaNeis. But we shouldn't exaggerate the Ramban's view, because what he says in Vayishlach is also perfectly clear. The statements in Chazal generally are pretty balanced. So I think what needs to be understood is two things. Number one, that the impulses of bitachon and Ein Somchin Al HaNeis both need to be internalized, even when there's no clash and no decision to be made. Each of these factors, right, is very critical to spiritual life and the makeup of an Oved Hashem. I'll explain that, I guess, when we finish this next time. The second thing is that in each individual case where you have particularly strong expressions of either bitachon on the one hand or in somchan al nes on the other, you have to calculate, you have to consider the individual stakes, pressures and counter-pressures. And in particular, this case in the Ramban, the fact that somebody else's life and tznius and the Kedushas Yisrael aspect of tznius was being jeopardized, that's the Sara part of the story. That's why he emphasizes that she was a tzadekes and that this is a tremendous michshol and so on and so forth. The Ramban, I should add, unlike the Radak and the Ibn Ezra and others, thinks that nothing, there was no startling transform. He got to the border of Egypt, and all of a sudden he realized, oy vey. He knew it was coming, whether it's the aesthetic quality of the population or their value system, the different interpretations that are given. The Ramban, I think, is l'shitaso in this respect. By the way, the Ramban later on in Tesvav Yud Beis refers again to this idea about this chet, so it's not just a one-time Ramban either. But the point is, there are a few elements in the Ramban are absolutely shitaso. The Ramban says that Sara did not want to go along with the whole plan. Again, the Radak and others think that's completely wrong. The Ramban is shitaso because she thought it was wrong. She thought he was making the wrong decision. But in the end of the day, the criticism and the reason that the Ramban is siding with bitachon in this particular case is partially because the counterpressure, the price being paid on the Sara side of it, and I think, and here again, certainly the Ramban l'shitaso, on the Eretz Yisrael side of it, was too great. The greater the counterpressure, right, the more the bitachon, piece, looms large. And in the other direction, right, the more, that you're, all things being equal, you'd like to take a certain direction, but you find yourself in a case of sakana or some other bad choice, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says and the Radak, sometimes you have to make the least bad choice when you don't have a good choice. The fact that here it's, the jeopardizing of Sara in this way and Klal Yisrael's diversion from Eretz Yisrael, which the Ramban of Ol Rishonim thinks is a critical category, I think also influenced the Ramban's very mechudash but very decisive understanding of this parsha. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu and his encounter with Esav, so Chazal are critical about what they consider to be too much chanifa, some of the hishtachavaya and some of the Adoni Esav. But in the end of the day, the Ramban is not critical of that. There are different views in Chazal. How much was Yaakov Avinu giving up when you know, he was also preparing Lidoron and the Milchama in addition to the Tefillah? And that's basically what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Rabbeinu Yonah is basically saying there are two pieces here. To be mistapik b'muat, to accomplish spiritual goals, in other words, to give up a comfortable lifestyle, is a pressure. But relative to the lechatchila of following Torah mitzvos, not such a great pressure. That's where bitachon comes in. You know, when there's sakana, or you're forcing other people to support you. In the case of tzedakah, and I'm not going to work because somehow it'll come, and it's coming because your wife's working or because the community is supporting you, right? That's a certain kind of a counter pressure. It's not just being mistapek b'muat. And this, I think, is also, if you look at the Netziv and others in their critique of the Ramban, it's in the weighing of the factors as much as it is the final determination in the dialectic of Ein Som Chanal Anes and Bitachon that this is being played out. So I want to speak a little bit more about this and the Yosef story, in particular in the Beis Halevi, and we'll finish up next time, and then we'll start with Avos.
Is that the first on the story of all time? Yeah. Okay.